I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, always to my right, unless he's not, of course. But tonight is one of those nights that he is. Sunglasses in the studio. He thinks he's cooler than he actually is. Scott, everything good?
Hey, okay? It's all a mindset, you know. Perception is reality.
Hey, all gas, no brakes. That's the motto of this show.
Yeah, I like it.
Boy, there's a lot of gas, though, in there.
Ooh, boy.
We were watching.
We used to wear masks before there was COVID.
Well, that's all saying is that there was a
hazmat suit.
We joke about this because there's an NFL coach that his big motto is all gas, no brakes. And obviously that's a go fast, go hard, whatever you want to do.
We had other names for it, which I can't say.
Yes, you can't repeat them. But it's just fun to see how those things pass down from generation to generation. And so we're going to keep that mindset this evening. So as we jump in here, it's a 7:05 cut, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the changes. Now, we're also going to be giving you some updates on this Eastern Conference Finals. I had a little revelation given to me from my son that I'm going to adopt. He said, he goes, Dad, who do you want to win the finals? I go, I don't know. The Clippers win, it makes the Jazz look better. I don't know. These Eastern Conference teams, no one really wins those. He goes, Dad, anybody from the Eastern Conference. And I said, that's actually a pretty good thought, right? Because I like the Bucks. You know, I like I'm okay with the Hawks. I like Nate McMillan. He was a Seattle Supersonic for some time. So I'm okay. Any team in the East, no Western teams. That's my new motto. So
why?
Because.
Why?
Because these two Eastern teams I like. These two Eastern teams I like.
What does it have to do with the liking? You should pick a team from the West. So basically what you're saying is you don't like Phoenix or the Clippers, and you'd rather see a team from the East win.
Right.
Got it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And so and I don't hate these two teams in the East. I didn't. Like, if it was the Nets and the 76ers, we'd have a real problem. We're going to start things off, though, talking a little bit about – and by the way, it's right now the Bucks are leading by just a touch over the Atlanta Hawks here in the first quarter, 38-29 in the second quarter. So we're going to kick things off talking about name, image, likeness. Sure. The NCAA Supreme Court ruling, why not? All those things jumping in right now. It's a 7:05 cut. Let's see.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, I was, as we were getting ready for the show, as we were talking about all the things that were coming up. Now, Tom Holmo, the athletic director for BYU, weighed in, actually, on the topic of the name, image, likeness stuff. And I think that, the reality is that you're going to have multiple states on July 1 that are going to have an absolute interesting thing happen, which is going to be new laws are going to drop that day, and superseding the NCAA's wishes of people being paid for sponsorship, things like that at the collegiate level, it will be legal in certain states to be able to receive payment as a college student athlete. And this is going to cause headaches for the NCAA right now. My question is what if you just started paying guys right now and just said, NCAA, figure it out? Do you think that this is, in my mind...
Well, that's what these laws are saying.
I know.
They can do that.
And I'm for it. Like, just start doing it. Because the NCAA has to get pushed somehow. Some of these students that are getting all these views on social media and could get thousands and thousands of dollars in sponsorships because of the visibility they right. have, not the school, that they have,
yeah.
that the school uses, but that they can't use, as soon as this law drops in multiple of these states... you're going to see players who are going to just say, you know what, I'm jumping in full head of steam, and some of these schools are going to be right there along with them.
See, I think the NCAA actually has already given in. I really do. That has been the biggest surprise to me, is there's not – you just don't get a lot of pushback. You used to get this, oh, these athletes can't get paid. And then all of a sudden it was like crickets from everyone. All of these universities are starting to put together plans on how can we involve the students in internships and you know, BYU's done it, Utah's done it. All these schools are doing it. No one is fighting this from the institutional side. And what I find fascinating is the NCAA is like the bully, right? Like they've been the big bully. They're the ones who they have the laws and they kind of dictate terms as who, you know, who gets what and how things happen, and you've seen some of the sanctions that have come from the NCAA to some of these schools, and you're just like, wow, they're the voice, they're the all-knowing, all everything.
It's embarrassing now to look back at it.
And now right, and now they're just like they literally have rolled over. It reminds me of the movie A Christmas Story, when the little boy Ralphie is being picked on by the bully, Scott Farkas, right?
Scott Farkas. I was he's going to know his name, and you did.
Of course I did. And he finally realizes that I've just had it with the bully.
Yes.
And he confronts the bully, right? And he's never bullied again. And that's what the NCAA has felt like to me. And I'm like, wow, they finally had their Ralphie moment, these players – in college football, and they stood up to the bully, and the bully just rolled over.
So the NCAA rolled out because of the ruling, and because July 1st is coming right up around the corner here, Scott.
Like soon. Wow, where did June go?
With July 1 happening, this is going to change a lot of things. So here's what Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, boy, could you be a bigger villain right now in all of collegiate sports? Now that we've had time to analyze Monday's Supreme Court decision, as if they figured it all out, by the way. Now that we've had time to analyze it, I wanted to update you on what the key takeaways are going to be for us. The Alston ruling, Alston versus the NCAA, leaves collegiate athletics where it was before the case was taken up by the court and provides additional clarity, but not definitiveness. Here's what we now know. The decision affirmed the NCAA's authority to adopt reasonable rules, and we are free to articulate what are and what are not truly educational benefits. So, NIL aside, they are going to articulate what educational benefits are, consistent to their mission of supporting student athletes. Now, you see how they're already kind of digging in here? Now, the court said that we can actually adopt these reasonable rules. They also said that they could provide, schools could provide unlimited resources if it was tied to the education of, in some way. The court found the NCAA should be subject to full antitrust analysis of student-athlete compensation laws, and the court dismissed the NCAA reliance on language within the 1984 Board of Regents. You are seeing this turnover right before our eyes, Scott. The next month is going to be the Wild West, and I'm excited. I can't wait when that first commercial pops up on TV and it's like, hey, I'm Jaren Hall and I love, hey, it's me, Charlie Brewer. I'm new into town. And when I want to move my stuff, I use Bailey's Moving in Storage. I can't wait for those first commercials to roll out. I love using this toothbrush on their Instagram account. I don't care. Whatever it is. Let's let the players do this. We're going to come right back. We got more to go here on the program. When we return, oh my heavens, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Team USA basketball roster going to the Olympics. Are these guys going to bring you a gold medal? We'll talk about it next. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson. And unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.